The question is, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Now, I'm seeing lots of smiles. Why am I seeing lots of smiles? Who said something? Every vacation you take your children on, you're going to get that question. Are we there yet? What is your answer? Yeah, soon, not yet, maybe. It's just like the Christmas commercial where they planted a little bitty tree, and then time went by, and the kids would come. Is it ready yet? Not yet. The next year, is it ready yet? Not yet. Well, the kids are thinking they're going to cut it down and take it to the house. But what did they actually end up doing? The tree got big enough that they decorated it out on the lawn. And it was a beautiful thing. But anyway, are we there yet? Any parent that's ever traveled with kids, you have dealt with that question. It's just part of it. Sometimes they'll let you go a half hour, maybe an hour, with, are we there yet? But we've all heard it. But truth be told, many adults are asking something similar. We do this when we have unanswered prayer and our patience begins to wane. How many of in the last 2 years, just going back to January 2020, you have unanswered prayer right now? Prayers that you've called out to God and He hasn't answered them. What do you do? What do you do? You keep praying. That's what you keep doing. We do this when our patience begins to wane. We live in a world where everything has to be done right now. Fast food line. How many of you have ever been in the pickup and the line wasn't going fast enough for you? Or you've gone to a restaurant and the service wasn't fast enough for you. Or you went to Walmart and you scour around back and forth, trying to find a line with the fewest people in it so that you can get out the door the quickest. We've all done it. How many of you have put something in the microwave and then stood and watched it? Waiting for the timer. We've all done that. That's who we are. That's the society we live. We live in this unpatient society. But getting back to prayer here, let's go to Psalm chapter 6, and we're going to look at a few verses. Start with verse 1. Now this is David here, and my Bible says it's a complaint in his sickness. David is ill. Now, as we go down through here, we're going to see David is admitting his illness is because of his own wickedness, his own sin in his life. That's why he's ill here. But let's look at this. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger. Now, when you go to God and you use this comment right here, rebuke me not in thine anger, what are you admitting? You're admitting God's got a right to be mad at you. Isn't that what he's saying? Which means you've done something wrong. So that's what he's doing there. He says, rebuke me not in thy anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. He said, God, I know you're mad at me. I messed up. But please, please, can you hold off with your rebuke on me? So then we get to verse 2. Have mercy upon me. Mercy and grace. We need both of them, don't we? Mercy here is the word he used. He needs mercy because he messed up. We need grace because we did not mess up. Are you following me here? We need grace when things just happen to us that's out of our control And we call out to God just to take over and give us the grace to get through it, to walk with us. David calls out, he says, have mercy on my soul. He's admitting, God, I messed up. I don't deserve mercy. Do we deserve God's mercy? No, we don't. But a lot of times he gives it to us. He says, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for what? You know one thing Dave was about? Oftentimes he was honest. I am weak. He said, God, I thought I had this and I don't. I think we've all been in that situation where we thought, I've got it. I've told the story in our Sunday school class at times, trying to start a lawnmower. And you pull and you pull and you pull and it won't start. Or this time of year, you know what's worse yet? Is a snowblower. When you're trying to get a snowblower started and you can't get it started. And there's been many times where I have pulled and pulled and pulled. And finally I said, you know what, God? If it's going to start, you're going to have to do it. And I have seen it more than once where the next pull, it fired right up. And it's like, John, if you'd gone to God after the second or third pull, he probably would have started it then. But no, you had to show yourself that you could do it and you couldn't do it. So he says, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. In the last 2 years, any of you been sick? A few of you. Some in this room, the COVID bug touched, made you sick. And this is where he's at. He's feeling terrible right now. Feeling miserable. And he's crying out to God. He said, my bones are vexed. Even my bones ache. You know, I've talked to some that went through COVID with the struggles they had. And literally, I think they would admit it, their bones even ached, that they were hurting so bad. Verse 3, he said, for my soul is also sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long? Now he's changed a little bit. Not only is my body in pain, but my soul is in pain. And the reason his soul is in pain, because he knows this pain he's going through, he deserves every bit of it for the things that he's done wrong. Verse 2 and 3 tells us that David wrote this in a time of illness. And let's move on here. Verse 4, return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. He's in the perfect place. You say, John, what are you talking about? The perfect place is where you get to a place where you know you can't do anything to change the situation, where it's all up to God. And I think about that. If you've been in the hospital, you've had surgery. Remember, they bring all those papers to you and they have you sign them. Once you sign those papers, and especially after they give you that little shot into the IV, and you're just gone, who's in charge then? God is. You've turned everything over to him. That's where he wants us to be. Verse 5, for in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? Sometimes we forget. We think 100 years old is old. But in the eyes of the Lord, how old is that? How long is that? And we'll just be gone. We'll just be a memory. And when the people that knew us are gone, oftentimes that memory is gone. And that's what he's talking about here. Now we get down to verse 6. I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. He's weary and groaning. Did any of you groan today? Probably all of us did. We went outside. We didn't go outside. Oh, look at the beautiful sunshine. We didn't do that. What did we do? We felt that horrible wind blowing in our face. How cold that was. That's what he's talking about there, the groaning. He says, all night make I my bed to swim. He's crying all night long. In the last 2 years, How many of you have shed tears, and sometimes maybe all night long? And we're going to talk about some of the reasons that you may. Moving on down, let's go down the next two verses. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxes old because of all mine enemies. What he's talking about here is the tears were blurring his vision. That's what he was talking about there. Verse 8, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. Now he's saying, you know what? God, I've poured myself out to you. I've given my soul to you. Make all the troubles go away. Make all my enemies go away. I'm tired of it. So then we get to verse 9. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. When does God hear our prayers? Or let me ask you this. When does God not hear our prayers? There's sin in our life. God don't hear those prayers. So David has gotten that taken care of. His heart is right. He knows God is hearing my prayers, but he can't understand, God, why are you not answering these prayers? I'm tired of this. I want to get over this. I don't want this anymore. Many times we have prayed much, but it seems that God is not answering. In the last couple years, how many of you prayed and you thought, man, why isn't God answering my prayer? I think in the last couple years, our prayers could concern physical needs. As I said, some of you have had COVID in here. Many in our church, you know, they even had to be hospitalized because of it. Other reasons, other things going on where we have physical difficulties. Being old. Pastor talks about being old. He's 53 years old. Man, if I felt as good now as I did when I was 53, you know, and some of you are saying, John, you've got nothing to complain about yet. You know, you're not there yet. But do you see what I'm saying? As you get older, and it's just like there's something new all the time. It's like, I never had this hurt before. I never had this issue to deal with before. So we have physical needs. In the last 2 years, what about emotional needs? Last 2 years have been hard emotionally on everybody. All the struggle. We talked about families having to be separated. Couldn't be together. Churches being pushed apart. Couldn't come together. It's been hard emotionally. A lot of relationships have been torn apart these last couple years. And finally, spiritual needs. Where does God want us to be on Sunday morning? In church. And what has happened the last couple years with the disease? It's not allowed us to gather together. And for those with certain illnesses that they had before COVID, they can't afford to even take a chance of being here. And they want to be here. But they know physically they have to stay away. So physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs. You see, God is long-suffering. And he often desires the same from us. Man, that's hard. I'm not in this long suffering. That's just maybe some of you are, but that's not me. God is. He's long suffering. He puts up with a lot. It all comes down to our desires compared to God's desire for us. These prayers that you've been praying. You say, God, why aren't you answering them? Well, there's a reason why he's not answering them. Maybe he's answering them in a way that you weren't expecting. He does that sometimes. But also think, you've been asking all these prayers. You've been asking God for things or to do things. How many things did he do for you that you never even asked him for? How many blessings did you receive that you never even asked for? Jen and I, it's amazing sometimes. It's like, wow, I can't believe he did this again. So we stop and we thank him. And this is what I want you to see here is oftentimes in our prayers, we are asking for things and we are forgetting what God is doing for us on a daily basis. Oftentimes, God gets the most glory when we are in the deepest valleys. Boy, that's hard. That's hard. You know, I don't know anybody that's ever prayed that God would give them cancer. But I've known a lot of people that God used in a great way while they had cancer. They didn't ask for it. It wasn't what they wanted, but God used them in a great way. And oftentimes when we're way, way down in the valley, that's when we're the closest to the Lord, because that's when we need him the most. So now if you've got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 26, very, very familiar portion of Scripture, and I'm going to close out with this tonight. Matthew chapter 26. And go down to verse 36. I'm going to read a few verses here, and then we're going to talk about them, and then we'll close. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and he said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Verse 40. And he cometh to his disciples and find them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, they will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. How many times did Jesus pray? 3 times. He prayed the exact same prayer 3 times. But there's something I wanted you to see about this prayer is there were 2 requests in it. One was, let this cup pass from me. What did he mean by that? He knew what lay ahead of him. He knew that he was going to be sacrificed. And if it could be avoided, he wanted it to be avoided. That was not his choice to die on the cross. But then he also says, let not my will, but thy will be done. The second part. My question to you, Jesus prayed the same prayer 3 times. Did he answer his prayer? You sit there and you say, ooh, John, that's tough. Did he answer the first part? No. We all know that Jesus was hung on the cross. And Jesus asked God, if it be thy will, don't let this happen to me. But he did answer the second part, let not my will, but thy will be done. My challenge tonight to all of you is let every one of your prayers finish with that final statement. Let not my will, but thy will be done. Because oftentimes we ask, and what we think is best for us, God disagrees. And if we're praying that away And guys, there's going to be things that's going to happen that's hard. There's going to be things that happen that's tough. In our Sunday school class, we're praying for a young teenager, lives in Columbus, Ohio. And he's got terrible, terrible cancer. And they just right now are just trying to maintain him until maybe something else comes along. But his parents are good Christian people, and I know they are praying, "Let not my will, but thy will be done." And that's so hard. It's so difficult to pray that way. It may be over a physical issue. It may be about you. It may be about a family member. It may be about someone else. "Let not my will, but thy will be done." Emotionally, a lot of people right now are having to take antidepressants because of what's happened to them in the last couple years. Many in the medical industry, because they just saw so much pain and so much suffering and so much death that they're having trouble handling that, and they can't understand that. Spiritually, we know God is still saving souls. How do I know that? He hasn't come back yet. And until he does, he's going to keep saving souls. And you know, he can do it right here. He can do it right here. So in our prayers, no matter what they are, let not my will take our eyes off ourselves, but thy will be done. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for this time we had together. Lord, be with those that can't be here. Lord, I pray especially that you'll be with Pastor as he's conducting this funeral at this time for this young man. Lord, that you'll just give him the words to speak. Lord, that you'll just impress upon the family, if nothing else, a need for a Savior. Lord, for our own people, many have different illnesses right now that they're going through, they're struggling with. They have other situations going on in their families, in their homes. I think especially of our young couples with the kids and all the struggles they have with school and with everything going on there. Lord, just be with them too. Father, again, we thank you for allowing us to meet here tonight. For it's in Jesus' name I ask these things. Amen.